So holiday time.
Fresh episodes, though.
Right, fresh episodes, as we call them.
Happy holiday time, sparkle season, as we call it here in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure if people call it that elsewhere as well.
What we need to do is Google sparkle season.
True.
And we'll see if this is some sort of sanctioned franchise.
Sparkle seasoning comes up. There is a sparkle syrup and sparkle season.
Sparkle motion? Sometimes I doubt your commitment.
Sparkle season, the first entry for sparkle season is a Pittsburgh Post-Gazette entry.
How about that?
On the Google.
So. I mean, that's something to be proud of.
Something to be proud of for sure.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's sparkle season.
Happy sparkle season, Jay.
To you too, Ray. Sparkles.
Yeah.
We should come up with a thing where we sort of flick each other's metaphorical sparkles with our fingers. No, let's do it.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Come on, what do you got?
Nothing.
I mean, let's try to have fun.
Ba-ding!
Fresh episode.
Yeah.
Today, and Ray, you're telling me that the topic is...
Slang.
Slang.
And I know we have this, our idiom slang, and yeah, sure, but some are kind of called slang.
Slang.
Specifically.
Which is... The lang is language, right? And the S on the front of it is why?
An S for...
Slurry.
Sure.
Slurried language.
Slandered language.
Yeah, any of those. Pick one.
Yeah.
So you want to go first? What do you have?
Yeah, I'll kick us off. My first one is book it.
Book it.
Yeah.
Like we're going
to run. To run. To run, to leave, to skedaddle. To book it. Cheese it in the similar way.
Yeah.
Although Cheese It has a thing about like stopping what you're doing. Book it means run.
We were
booking down the street. And this is something that I said as a 1980s child.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm only 39, but still did say that.
Yeah,
then.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is a, you know, in relation to what we've researched, it is certainly a younger slang term, a younger idiom.
In the relation of the world of some of the idioms that we dig all the way back to.
For sure. This one is maybe 50, 60 years.
Not like that guy, Astronophanes, what's his name?
Aristophanes? That guy still?
Nice. Yeah, he goes way back.
And Pliny.
And Pliny's even older, yeah.
But Pliny, he was a journaler. He was like a Samuel Pepys of the day.
Good on him, because we wouldn't know this stuff.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, because sometimes, like, you know, Mr. Pepys is tooting his own horn here and there. But...
Well, see, but he was tooting it to himself. I don't think we knew,
we were going to
be all in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, those were memoirs, really, for
him.
He
wouldn't have told about all his dalliances.
Right.
Yeah.
Incriminating, yeah. But I digress.
Oh yeah, back to book it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Yeah. I think it's part of the fun. Book is an old English word that really comes from even Proto-Germanic. Boke, which kind of translates through German to the word beech, as in like a beechwood tree, where things may be inscribed, where ruins may be inscribed, or perhaps carved upon the tree itself. So the definition that we use to book something, to record or register, you know what I mean? When you're going to book a trip or book a thing, or I'm going to put that in the book.
Oh, right.
To record or register, that comes, placing a bet also. Sorry, let me back
Bookie.
That up a little bit. Yeah, placing a bet on the books, yeah. That kind of sense is found around the 1200s.
Carries really?
Us. Yeah.
They're bookies.
To record or register something.
Oh, okay.
They say placing a bet on the books, but placing a note, placing your, you know, vote.
Once it's written down, that now you're committed.
It is booked. It has been booked, right? In a book.
We can prove it. It's written down right here, mister.
Yeah. It's like we do when we're like, we've booked in the book.
Right. The verb and the noun.
Right.
Now
they're the same. Everything's
plant
the same.
Plant the plant. Yeah.
Just plant it. It's fine. Like I said, the slang meaning to depart hastily, go fast, seems to come about America's way in the 1970s. The first citation in the Historical Dictionary of American Slang has it in 1974, and the quote is, "Time to book this joint. time to leave.
Yeah.
In that way.
I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the obvious. I don't see the jump from recording the thing to now it means run away.
And let me tell you that you're not the only one who never found a link. Sort of. No, I'm just kidding. The recording to the leaving has, I guess, folklore etymology that a lot of people agree on. There's no evidence specifically.
Yeah.
But one of the ways that people believe is it comes from us from the U.S. military in the 60s. To book something, like I said, doesn't mean to hurry. It means to leave, like we were saying. Let's book. Let's get out of here. And in order to come and go off of military bases, that was said that you would have to sign in and out of a book to leave the premises or come into the premises. That is a theory that a lot of people say, like, yeah, that makes sense. It does your recording, the thing, and also the leaving the thing and the one. This is just a theory. Another theory is that perhaps it came from the words, let's boogie.
Really?
Let's boogie. Let's book it. I mean, that's not ridiculous.
It's not. We've seen more ridiculous things.
Similarly to the military kind of leaving and entering a record book is the booking a trip, booking a hotel. You know, you had a log book in which you recorded things, and perhaps those things were you leaving places or coming places. But I did see several lexicographers agreeing that book it originated in the 1970s America. They're not sure specifically, although, if it came from African American slang or generic college student slang, but you can definitely count on white folks to steal stuff from, you know, our black folks around
here.
Yes, but they do seem to agree that it is a variation on an earlier black American slang, bookity book, which.
What is this?
The sound relating to the slapping of shoes on the ground, perhaps when they were trying to run away from slavery in America and early Americans.
Bookity book.
Bookity book. It's saying that it has, it definitely comes from African-American slang, bookity book.
Okay, but was it alive in the jazz era or something that would make it really alive in the 70s? Because, I mean, it would have been asleep for a long time.
People are saying it came out in the 1930s, which I would say is the jazz
era.
Kansas City jazz stuff, for sure. Yeah, so it could be just feet moving, feet slapping. But people do say that the phrase bookity book does date back close to slavery. Here in America.
But did you find anything?
I did not see any specific thing that linked that together. No. But that is the strongest theory. It seems like people strongly believe that it came from the phrase bookity book. That phrase refers to shoes slapping on the ground. From there, it's a little fuzzy.
Yeah, they often get that way.
Yeah. So I can neither confirm nor deny anything beyond what that is. But yeah, I was like, oh, hooray. More things we have to look. So I have to look deeper into that. But I didn't see anything that drew any relation. I looked back in some 1880s, dictionaries that we have that I have access to. Same thing. The words didn't come up. These words didn't come up. Bookity book. I didn't see it popping up in those areas.
Yeah.
In the early pre 1970s, stuff like that. Yeah. I didn't even see the quote. They're just referencing a 1930s quote. So I'm guessing that's when it came around. So what's your first slang?
Well, that was one for the books.
That was one for the books, exactly.
It's just laying there.
Yes.
I'm going to serve it up.
Yeah.
mine is skinny. Get the skinny. What's up on that skinny thing?
Get the skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I have said that.
Inside information, dope. The skinny on what's going on.
Yeah.
This sort of business.
Give it to me straight.
Yeah, give me the skinny.
Yeah.
So, idiom-wise, I mean, we kind of think of it like to get the skinny to be informed of the real truth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The straight facts, just the facts, man.
Yeah.
Straight facts. Inside information, confidential information.
Mm-hmm.
When you get the skinny, you... I love this.
Right.
When you get the skinny, you obtain a deeper understanding of the person, subject, or situation at hand.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a perfect definition.
Now,
why do we get the skinny?
it's funny, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, we don't think of them until we think of them.
Right, because you just say it.
Yep.
And you say, why do we say that, though?
Mm-hmm.
But that gives us things to do in trying to figure that out.
This one doesn't seem to have an obvious...
You'd think, but then it's also partially hidden in plain sight. The earliest example we've seen here is this lucky bag, yearbook of the U.S. Naval Academy, 1932. And I'm going to quote, if you don't get the skinny of things, Eddie can usually set you right. Well, Eddie knew his stuff, but he's dead now because this was 1932.
He's long dead.
Yeah. Regardless of his state of morte, skinny 1932 Naval Academy.
Okay. Well, they like the, we learned in the Snafu episode that the military certainly loves its acronyms.
Right. But skinny is not an acronym.
All right, there we go.
Or is it?
Why?
Sudden, kinetic, inexplicable knowledge. I don't know.
Done.
Yeah.
Next.
Here's an odd offshoot that I will circle back to.
Okay.
Old Icelandic. See, I'd found it Scandinavian. Skinna, a cousin of our skin. It was parchment, vellum. Skin book. So it may have gone back to writing on animal skin or something, but it eventually, this word, skinna, was actual parchment. How can that tie together? Well, if it's written down, the information's written in a parchment book, then you learn from it, you've gotten the skin.
The skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I mean, it's something. OED, always, you know, a perennial favorite.
It's one of our favorites. We hope it's one of yours.
It's a slang, you know, according to them. The lowdown, news, gossip. The dictionary has another pre-1967 citation, which is from The Big War, 1957 novel by Anton Meyer. I'll cut you in on some hot skinny. But it's really not very useful because we already know 1932 we had that naval book.
Yeah.
This is nothing. This isn't bringing anything new to the party. Shakespeare said skinny, I found, because Shakespeare, you know, Billy Shakes. He's always bringing the idioms.
Very formative in the language.
But his use of skinny just means thin and seems to have no play in this game.
So that's 1600s.
Yeah.
We're not using it to mean.
Right.
All right.
So it's just, it is a useful documentation of that.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone was going to use an idiom, it'd be Billy.
Sure.
So it was widely used in World War II. Always tough to say. Always widely used in World War II. Persistently and widely. Army and Navy.
Okay.
There was something I dug out from the Charleroi Mail. Hey, that hits close to home. But the Charleroi Mail thing, you know, tries, you can sort of translate it to mean, well, I don't think it was highly used in World War II, but a lot of other documents suggest it was. So I don't know. And there's something that they bring up. It makes me really against this article anyway. And it's a bad bias because they bring up a word called gyrene, which is G-Y-R-E-N-E. And it is, it's a G-I plus a marine.
Okay.
It's like a gynecologist named Irene.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to.
Gyrene.
I don't like reading this word.
But why would you have to differentiate between a G-I and a marine?
You know?
Or like.
I'm ignorant to the armed forces, but is a G-I an army person?
Oh, perhaps.
So what if you were in the army and then you also got indoctrinated into the Marines?
You're a gyrene.
All
right.
I'm making that up though, folks.
Yeah, don't
go same. Putting bets on the books with that.
No, please don't.
1938, just a bit after that 1932 business with the naval thing. This fellow, Richard Hallett, has in his autobiography, The Rolling World, had she really given me the skinny of an actual legend from the archives of her race? Well, we'll never know unless we read it.
Yeah.
But that is a quote out of the book using it in that way.
Non-military.
The real truth.
Yeah.
Nothing but the truth. But that parchment business, that Icelandic thing or whatever, had me thinking.
Yeah.
So I went back into a deeper etymological dive, some say.
Sure. With the pickaxes.
Yeah. And I found, let me tell you what.
Hmm.
Proto-Indo-Euro.
Yeah.
Whew, that goes way back.
P-I-E.
Yeah, it's back to Irishy. S-C-E-I-T-H, pronounced skeh. And this can mean a couple of things across these. You know, it came to be Gaelic Irish, meaning give away or give away a secret.
Yeah.
And this skeh word is the father of skin.
Yeah.
But in the older Proto-Indo-European, it was sket, and it meant to vomit, which could have also morphed its way into vomit up the truth or anything like that, you know?
Yeah. That seems like a simple leap.
But the bottom line is, to be that, it would have to have come up through Gaelic-Irish roots and then somehow gotten used in a current, more modern 20th century vernacular and turned into this thing vomiting up the truth. It's possible. No documentation.
Yeah, that's a large
whatsoever.
Gap.
A huge gap.
Yeah.
So the better thinking is that, you know, the Naval Academy business, it was clearly around before then. So the early part of the 20th century, maybe late 19th century, it was being used. Again, without documentation, it seems to be, if not the Irish Gaelic pathway, then skinny. It meant, you know, to strip it down to get the, either get the fat off of the facts and get down to the truth, or strip down to the skin, get the naked bare truth.
Yeah, sure, when you say it like that, it seems obvious.
That was my hide in plain sight thing.
Right.
You know, it's one of those ones that, like so many of these, they form out on the street, out in language, in bars and wherever, a lot in the army, because those folks were all together from all over the place.
And
so that's the skinny on skinny, one or the other. You pick your poison. It's good either way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do like that. So even skin, like skin, our skin, it came from the old Gaelic, you're saying?
Yeah.
Huh.
So Ray...
Yeah,
Jay. I wanted to. Yeah, thanks.
Sure.
No, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm
doing
all right.
Okay over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to remind people about the Roberto Clemente Museum.
Yeah.
Need gifts for the holidays. Someone in your life likes baseball, especially Roberto. Paraphernalia. You don't have to live around here. If you do live around here or could get to Pittsburgh, the Roberto Clemente Museum's fantastic. And if not, hop on ClementeMuseum.com and check it out. Lots of really wonderful gifts, hats, shirts.
21 merchandise.
Base of balls, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's gloves, and I'm not going to say there are gloves. Hoodies.
Hoodies, for sure.
Good-looking hoodie I still haven't got myself.
Stickers.
Stickers.
You know.
All kind of stuff.
Put on your sax case.
Or set yourself up for a tour. Either way, our Whole Nine Yards discount will be back soon. Right now, they're very busy and we're not discounting anything. But this stuff is really high quality, so it's worth every penny. Plus, you're contributing to Roberto's museum. Pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Don't you agree, Ray?
I would agree. It's been a while since I've been there. But yes.
Then also us, Big Science Music.
Here, us, Big Science Music.
Right? If anybody out there in the advertising world write commercials, need music, sound, audio, sound design, write content.
Need some footsteps, some foot scuffs.
We got it.
Whatever you need.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
BigSciencemusic.com. There's really nobody better in the business. I'm going to just go ahead and say it.
I'd argue if I could.
So, plus, you get to work with us.
Yeah.
And so what could be better?
Exactly. We're a pleasure. We're a delight.
Sure. BigSciencemusic.com. Call for a bid on your next project. And now back to the wall.
That was great.
Yeah.
Sure, so, you can use it.
Ray, what do you have?
Well, I think I could have segued right in from your last one, but I can't. Nifty.
Nifty.
Smart, stylish, attractive, of good quality, neat.
Yeah.
Is what I have.
I mean, that makes sense. I don't know. Is it a little stodgy 1940s, 1950s kind of thing? I don't know when it's from.
It hails back to the 1800s.
Mm.
There's a little bit of this and a little bit of maybe it's that. It seems like it could be this, but the OED does the thing where it says, nah, probably not. But nifty, I said this word, but I usually use it to mean cool or neat. Like neat as in cool, not neat as in
sharply
tidy.
Yeah.
Right, which is really more what it, anyway, we'll get there.
All right, take us.
But yeah, nifty, I used to mean cool. Because I'm also a nerd. 1882, Mark Twain, Innocence at Home, he was always nifty himself. And so you bet his funeral ain't going to be no slouch. But that's not the first usage, just an early one. Lexicographers agree that the first time we see this in print is 1865, a poem by F. Bret Harte, Tale of a Pony.
I love Harte.
The June issue of Californian Magazine. It's a long poem about a pony, but the line says, "Here comes Rosie's new turnout. Smart. You bet your life 'twas that nifty. Short for Magnificat." Magnificat is the word. Magnificat.
Yeah.
In parentheses, it flows in the poem. It rhymes. It's that word fits in the scheme, so he's calling out usage of it, but he's also rhyming it in his poem. Magnificat, turns out, is a specific hymn of the Virgin Mary from the 1200s.
Holy.
But it comes through magnificent, magnifico, the magnificence. Magnifico translates from Latin to I praise, glorify, extol.
Yeah. I only know it from Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right. Nice. Awesome. Now that's going in the head.
Yeah.
I headbanged so hard. It's a Wayne's World, though, for me. I mean, that's what... Anyway. So, like, the root of nifty being this magnificat or magnificent seems to not thrill the OED. They mark it as unlikely, but not impossible. Another possible meaning is... snifty, which means having a pleasant smell. It came from an older... Yes, I know. I didn't know. Let's get snifty,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, I can't even hear a word remotely close.
And
I got Rick and Morty dancing.
No, sure. Mr. Bulldog? but the OED seems to point to, as we see, it's a combination, perhaps, neat and thrifty.
Oh.
Neat, as in smart and fashionable, and thrifty in the sense of thriving and successful.
Yeah, not frugal.
Not frugal, right. Thrifty as in, yeah, right, exactly. So that fine marriage does seem like the most plausible.
It really settles in.
It does sort of just get right in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because early on, the definition of nifty is more splendid and, like I said, neat and fine. So it seems to make sense than the other thing.
Wow, did this just come right home, got right in the garage and parked?
Yeah, we're parked.
Wow, man, okay.
I thought there would be more information, but there really is not. This one, because again, it doesn't have a lot to it. It's weird. There's more to the Magnificat. I could go in and quote some.
Like, you're just gonna get me back on the Queen song.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's most likely a combination of neat and thrifty.
Yes, it is.
But again,
it is definitely that.
There's no evidence that says this. The thing we have is the guy saying it comes from the Magnificat, but everyone's like, "That's not. Come on, stop."
I mean, the makers of the slang were too busy living life to record it.
Precisely, as you and I often find. We didn't get any content. We were too busy living in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know you're making up words when you start talking.
No, you're just saying stuff.
I would assume a poet would take on a responsibility, though. Right? Like, if you're writing,
right,
you definitely have more of a responsibility to the language than just you and me, you or I.
But we do see that sometimes, or let's say especially journalists, you know, who grab something off the street and then put it into a 19th century newspaper, and then before you know it, Bob's your uncle.
Right. And someone's my aunt. Mary's my aunt.
Fanny.
Fanny's my aunt. So,
and then when we uncovered that more recent stuff about Fanny, I was like, well, hang on, mister.
Yeah.
Where is this Aunt Fanny that you speak of?
I think all of our words have got that. That's in there.
Yeah. And what? Ray.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you should say that.
Oh, nice.
Because submitted for your approval here is Putz.
Putz. Mm-hmm. All right. I will accept this. I have approved Putz.
Right?
Yeah. All right. Is it in the putzing around, or is it in like the guy, the person's a putz?
Wow.
Did I do something poor?
Nope.
Okay.
It's all the same.
Okay. Okay.
But here's the thing. There are certain stones you can uncover,
mm-hmm.
and they're everywhere. It's like the weird kind of thing. Some you uncover this stone, it says this.
Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania Dutch. To go around viewing putzes in the neighborhood. A decoration or it'll be funnier than that later.
Oh, great.
Strong. So play that back.
Yeah.
Viewing putzes in the neighborhood. A decoration or ornament in the nativity tradition, usually placed under a Christmas tree. And this is a Pennsylvania Dutch thing.
Okay.
Right. And this tradition up in Northeast Pennsylvania, where Dutch children would go out around this time of year gathering sticks and other things, and then come back and build these little, you know, nativity, what do you call them, manger settings and all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, those are all the words.
However, the other stone that you uncover brings it to Yiddish, as you'd expect that it is.
It felt that way.
So I'm not quite sure where that marriage happens, but Pennsylvania Dutch equal German, the Yiddish tradition, we're not, apple isn't falling far from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it split off into two different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, putz, slang, a fool, an idiot, vulgar slang. A penis. So now go view all the putzes.
Oh, we're
going
to go look in the neighborhood. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to be doing that.
If you're looking, if I look in your window, I'm the pervert. So it's on me.
It is on you.
Yeah.
But you left the window uncovered.
But you can leave the window uncovered. That's okay. Oh, right. You have to have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
Yeah.
Right. So now we're in the gray area.
I'm gonna go look. So, putzing around.
Yeah.
See, now you'll never hear it the same way again.
Nope.
But you know, maybe my mother would say this when I was a kid, Jake Kevin.
Yeah.
Don't be putzing around. Like, go get something done.
Right.
Or whatever. Right. Had I known this, I'd go, Mom.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I just thought, oh, she caught me. So yeah, putzing around.
Yeah.
But you know what, here's the odd thing. You know, American would have the same meaning with a word called puttering around.
Okay.
You'd putter around. You ever hear that?
Well,
somebody's dad would say something like that.
Yeah.
I'd be puttering around in the garage.
Right. I have heard that.
Yeah. But you don't think.
No.
So obnoxious man, fool. Also, finery, adornment, jewelry. Now, some people, I'm not going to use one term or another, but would try to make this tie between, it's a penis because it's it's family jewels. It's, you know, because it had to do with this or that.
No.
I'm saying no. Also, I mean, you know, you just want some clickbait.
Yeah. Who's not clicking on the thing that says family jewels? I mean, come on.
I mean, I get it. Now, when I pulled out the Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue.
Oh, yes, it's out there now.
Yeah, it is.
So exciting, yes.
And you have to remember, like, we spell all this Yiddish stuff in the American or Roman with the Z's, but nay, you got to put an S in. You can't do that. So a put, which looks like put to us, an ignorant, awkward clown. But it doesn't seem to leave... I mean, I guess once you're in this world of Yiddish slang meaning penis, you're all in the same small sauce pot. And it doesn't go far from schmuck. And here again, schmuck is not schmuck. You can't look it up that way. It's schmuck.
Yeah.
But I found it. Can't hide. schmuck. And this is, all right, people, close your ears if you're slightly sensitive, but I fainted at a bris once, so I didn't actually faint, but damn close.
You felt it.
Ooh, man, that baby cried and I was, poo. It was like 90 degrees.
Sure. No, but you can, yeah.
Yeah, I had to get out and get some air. Anyway, that's the definition of digress. schmuck. Part of the foreskin cut off in circumcision.
All right.
Right? So you call somebody a schmuck. You are really...
You're a foreskin. I mean, quit being a foreskin. You are a foreskin.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, that's... I
did not know that.
Not nothing.
No,
that's... I'm here to provide information.
That's fun bonus facts.
I know, but I'm not sure how aside-y or bonus-y it is... because putz is right there. I had someone tell me over the weekend that putz, as I was doing my research, that putz was the foreskin, so I was digging for information on that. I couldn't find that. But schmuck is. So the more vulgar form of putz slang being penis.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Putzing around.
I don't really think of myself as vulgar. But I mean, whatever. But really, put... an ignorant, awkward clown, or you know, any a fool, an idiot is more in keeping with the Yiddish definition. That's all the same. I mean, there's nuances, and if you're in France, you'd really get down to the nitty gritty of nuances. But for the most part, it is that from Yiddish.
Yeah.
And then, if you want to really enjoy it when you're saying it, it's a penis.
I think. So we definitely got digging around from putzing around.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, quit digging around over there.
But I mean, it's just stuff that has to come out. I mean, it's just, it was going to be there.
Sure.
Regardless.
Yeah.
You're going to use these terms in a crude way.
Sure. That's what we are.
Or a disparaging way.
Just creative.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't think the person being called a putz feels very creative.
Sure.
Or it feels like you were being very creative.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, but whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
So,
thoughts, feedback, stars, or ratings, or any kind of, any
call us putzes, whatever.
Yeah, feel free. Won't be the worst thing we've been called.
Yeah, and you could do that whole 9 yards pod. 9 is a number.
Yes.
On Instagram.
And Twitter and Reddit.
Twitter and Reddit.
Yeah.
Or whole 9 yards podcast.
On Facebook.
Or the Meme Works.
Is it the new
meta
thing?
Data.
Has it changed?
No.
Okay, then Facebook, I guess.
I think it's just the mother name. Are they really going to change the name of the thing? It's just like... I don't know. I don't have a thing right now. So, hi, everybody. Thanks for listening. And I'm Jay.
And I'm Ray.
And we're not idioms. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it worked out. They usually do.
Yeah.
Whole 9 Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at whole9yards.org or contact Whole 9 Yards by emailing heyyou@whole9yards.org. That's heyyou@whole9yards.org. Whole 9 Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.